You're listening to Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct, the show where we dig into the tech that's shaping the future of flight. And today we are going deep on what might be the most consequential certification effort in general aviation since the original type certificate process was created. We're talking about Joby Aviation. We're talking about the electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft race. And we're talking about what it actually takes to get one of these things certified by the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you love aviation, check out their gear and apparel at AviationSoul.com. Good people over there. All right, let's break this down. If you've been following the eVTOL space, even casually, you've probably heard the name Joby. They're a Santa Cruz, California-based company that has been working on an all-electric air taxi for over a decade. Not months, not a couple of years, over a decade. And that timeline matters, because in aerospace, patience isn't just a virtue, it's a survival strategy. Their aircraft is a five-seat configuration, one pilot, four passengers, it has six tilting electric motors mounted on a fixed wing and a V-tail. Think of it conceptually as a cross between a helicopter and a small airplane. On takeoff and landing, those propellers point straight up in cruise, they tilt forward, and the aircraft flies like a conventional fixed-wing airplane. The target range is about 150 miles, top speed around 200 miles per hour, and the noise signature is dramatically lower than a helicopter. We're talking about 50 decibels at 500 feet during flyover. For context, that's roughly the volume of a normal conversation. Now, here's what most people miss when they look at eVTOL companies. The aircraft itself is only part of the challenge. A huge part, sure. But the certification pathway is where companies live or die, and this is where Joby has made some genuinely smart moves. They are pursuing FAA Part 523 certification. That's the same airworthiness standard that covers normal category airplanes, not helicopters. Not a new experimental category, normal category airplanes. And the reason that matters is because Part 523 has special conditions that the FAA can apply for novel designs. Joby worked with the FAA early, and I mean years ago, to establish the basis for those special conditions. They essentially helped write the rulebook for how their aircraft would be evaluated. And they chose to certify under what's called a type certificate, not a special light sport or experimental pathway. That's the gold standard. It's harder, it takes longer, but it means when they get through it, they have something that can be operated commercially with full FAA blessing. No asterisks. Let me give you a quick snapshot of where the certification stages stand. The FAA process has five major gates. Stage 1 is the conceptual design review, Stage 2 is the preliminary design review, Stage 3 is the critical design review, Stage 4 is the final conformity and testing, Stage 5 is type inspection authorization, and ultimately the type certificate itself. Joby has moved through Stage 4. They are deep into conformity testing. They have completed over 1,300 test flights across their prototype and pre-production aircraft. That is not a trivial number. That's a lot of flight hours, a lot of data, a lot of envelope expansion. They've also been running high cycle fatigue testing on their batteries, their motors, and their structural components on the ground. Now, the honest question. When does the certificate actually come? Joby has publicly targeted 2025 into 2026 for type certification. And I'll be straight with you. Timelines and certification almost always slip. The FAA is thorough, and they should be. Every novel technology that goes into one of these aircraft, the battery management system, the electric motor controllers, the fly-by-wire flight controls, the distributed propulsion architecture, each one of those generates its own set of means of compliance documents. The FAA has to agree on how you prove safety for each system when there's no historical precedent. That said, Joby is further along than anyone else in the United States, full stop. Their closest domestic competitor is Archer Aviation, which is also pursuing Part 523 certification with their Midnight aircraft. Archer has been moving quickly too, but they're generally understood to be 6 to 12 months behind Joby in the certification timeline. Internationally, you've got Lilium in Germany, which went through bankruptcy and is attempting a restructuring. You've got EHang in China, which received a type certificate from the Civil Aviation Administration of China, but that's a very different regulatory environment. And you have Volocopter in Germany, which has been pursuing certification with the European Union Aviation Safety Agency, known as EASA, but has also faced financial headwinds. So, the competitive landscape is real, but it's also littered with companies that underestimated how hard certification is. Let me talk about the technology itself for a minute, because this is where it gets interesting from a pilot's perspective. The propulsion system uses six independent electric motors. Each motor has its own controller. If one motor fails, the aircraft can still fly and land safely on the remaining five. If two fail, depending on the configuration, it can still handle it. That kind of redundancy is baked into the design from day one, and it's one of the things the FAA cares about most. The failure modes have to be mapped and tested exhaustively. The batteries are lithium nickel cobalt manganese oxide cells. High energy density, relatively mature chemistry compared to some of the more exotic options out there. Joby has invested heavily in battery thermal management because heat is the enemy of battery life and safety. They've also acquired a battery company which gives them more vertical integration and control over cell design and manufacturing. The flight controls are fully fly-by-wire with triple redundancy. There is no mechanical linkage between the pilot's inputs and the control surfaces or motor tilt mechanisms. Everything goes through computers. Now, if you're a traditional stick and rudder pilot, that might make you a little uneasy, but this is the same architecture used in modern transport category aircraft, the Boeing 777, the Airbus A320 family. They all use fly-by-wire. The difference here is that the control laws also manage the transition between hover and wing-borne flight. That transition corridor is aerodynamically complex, and the flight control software has to handle it seamlessly without the pilot needing to manually manage each propeller's tilt angle. From a pilot workload perspective, that's actually a huge win. The pilot flies the aircraft through conventional inputs, stick, throttle, pedals, the computers manage the propulsion distribution. In theory, this makes the aircraft simpler to fly than a conventional helicopter, which requires constant management of collective, cyclic, anti-torque pedals, and throttle. Now the big caveat, energy density current lithium-ion battery technology gives you roughly 250 watt-hours per kilogram at the pack level. Compare that to jet fuel, which has about 12,000 watt-hours per kilogram. That's a factor of roughly 48 to 1, and that gap is why eVTOL aircraft have limited range and payload compared to combustion engine aircraft. 150 miles sounds great for an air taxi hopping between a city center and an airport. It's not going to replace your Cirrus SR22 for a cross-country trip anytime soon. Battery technology is improving. The industry is seeing about 5 to 8% improvement in energy density per year. Solid-state batteries could be a step change, potentially doubling energy density, but solid-state batteries at the scale and cost needed for aviation are still years away from production readiness. Anyone who tells you otherwise is selling something. So, what does this actually mean for the aviation ecosystem? The data tells an interesting story. The urban air mobility market, which is the primary use case for these aircraft, is projected to be worth somewhere between $15 and $30 billion by the early 2030s. That's according to analysts at Morgan Stanley and McKinsey. The initial operations will look a lot like helicopter charter services, but at a lower price point and with significantly less noise. Joby has already secured Part 135 air carrier certification, which means they have FAA approval to operate as a commercial air taxi service. They got that in 2023. So when the aircraft itself gets its type certificate, they can begin revenue operations relatively quickly. They've also partnered with Delta Airlines, which invested $60 million in the company and has plans to integrate Joby flights into the Delta travel experience at airports like New York, JFK, and Los Angeles International. Here's what I think is the most important thing for pilots to understand about all of this. This is not about replacing general aviation. Nobody is coming for your Cherokee or your Bonanza. This is about creating a new layer of aviation that sits between ground transportation and traditional air travel. Think of it as filling a gap that currently doesn't have a good solution. The 30 to 60 mile trip that takes 90 minutes in traffic but only 15 minutes in the air, that's the sweet spot. And the certification rigor that Joby and others are going through should give pilots confidence. These aircraft are not going to show up in the national airspace system without meeting the same fundamental safety standards that every other certified aircraft meets. The FAA is not cutting corners here, if anything. They're being extra cautious because the technology is novel. Will there be growing pains? Absolutely. Airspace integration with existing traffic, vertiport infrastructure, pilot training pipelines, battery recycling and lifecycle management, noise regulations at the local level. All of these are unsolved problems that need real solutions. But they're engineering and policy problems, not fundamental physics problems, and those tend to get solved when enough smart people and enough capital are focused on them. I'll close with this. The Wright brothers flew at Kitty Hawk in 1903. The first type certificate wasn't issued until 1927. It took 24 years to formalize the rules for something as conceptually simple as a fabric-covered biplane. Joby has been working towards certification for roughly 14 years on an aircraft that is orders of magnitude more complex. The fact that they're as close as they are is genuinely remarkable. And whether the certificate comes in late 2026 or early 2027, when it does come, it will be a milestone in aviation history on par with the introduction of the jet engine to commercial service. That's worth paying attention to. Now, sources for today's segment. Reporting from Ave Webb on Joby's certification milestones, AOPA coverage of the Part 523 special conditions process, FAA documentation on eVTOL means of compliance, Joby Aviation's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and analyst reports from Morgan Stanley on the urban air mobility market. As always, Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast put together by people who genuinely love aviation. You can find more at radiohangar.com, including links to everything we talked about today. I'm Vector. This has been Cleared Direct. Go read those special conditions documents. If you're a real nerd about this stuff, I promise you, the engineering is fascinating. See you next time. Radio Hangar, clear skies and tailwinds.